Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. My father was a wrestler in high school. How many of you have done any wrestling by chance? A couple of you did some wrestling, very good. And maybe you had someone that you watched doing some wrestling. My father, in his wrestling, told me about the preparation for wrestling. Wrestling's intense. Those of you that wrestle know that it is a lot of exertion. So before the match, my father would get all keyed up. He'd get all pumped up, and he'd have maybe a little bit of honey or maybe a slice of orange to get his sugar going, and he was maybe trembling a little bit with excitement. And then when you're wrestling, you get onto the mat, and you're circling your opponent, and then you lunge in trying to grab the head or grab a leg, trying to put your opponent on the mat. And along the way, there's the grasping and the scratches and the rug burns and all the intensity that comes with wrestling. 3 rounds of 3 minutes each, it doesn't seem like a long time, but when you're in the moment, your mind wants to beat your opponent, but your body is getting tired. And finally, the referee is standing there at the edge, just a foot away from the wrestlers, watching and seeing. And then 1, 2, 3, while the other person is pushing back, leaning up, arching their neck bulging. And wow, wrestling's intense. So maybe you haven't wrestled on the mat with another person, but maybe you've experienced the intensity of wrestling with God. And that can be pretty intense, wrestling with God. We hear about Jacob, who had a wrestling match with God. But Jacob began wrestling long before the wrestling match that we hear about today in our scripture lesson. We hear in Genesis chapter 25, verse 22, about two boys, Jacob and Esau, in the mother's womb. It says, the children struggled together within her, that is, Rebekah, and she said, if it is thus, why is this happening to me? So she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you shall be divided. The one shall be stronger than the other. The older shall serve the younger. So all right from the beginning, we have Jacob wrestling with his brother Esau in the womb. And as they come out, those of you that remember the story of Jacob and Esau know that there was a tussle, a wrestling with Jacob and Esau. The parents were playing favorites. Not a good idea. But we have Jacob, who his mommy loves him, and Esau, his father, loves him. Long story short, Jacob wrestles away the birthright from his brother through deception, living up to his name, Yaakov, which means heel grabber or deceiver. So Jacob wrestles with Esau, and it seems like he wins round one. Ding, ding. He makes off with the birthright. Well, Esau was angry. And angry is a mild way of putting it. Esau wanted to kill his brother. So Jacob had to head off, and he went off to the land of Laban, or where Laban was. And then we get wrestling match round two. Jacob meets another deceiver. And as you know the story with Laban, he basically tricks Jacob into marrying his older daughter, Leah. And then finally he gets to marry Rachel. And along the way, there's this tussle, there's this struggle between Jacob and between Laban. And it seems even in the midst of this struggle that Jacob is doing rather well. He acquires lots of flocks and herds, and he becomes quite wealthy. But soon comes the time where Jacob must break ties with Laban as the Lord tells him to return to his home country. But now we see Jacob in a very precarious position. Jacob here is about to face his brother Esau again. Esau has a welcoming party of 400 men. And you can imagine that Jacob is rather nervous. And what we find is we find Jacob the night before this encounter with Esau, and he is scared, he is nervous. And it says in Genesis 32, the same night he arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream and everything else that he had. So Jacob basically sent on his family away from him. He needed some time alone. And what he had done is divided his company into two parties. He had grown so large as a family unit that he divided his party into two so that if Esau were to attack one, the other would be able to escape. He's working on this plan. But now we find Jacob alone. When you're a wrestler, you wrestle in a certain location. You wrestle on the mat. And right here, we find Jacob as he's about to begin a wrestling match with the Lord. The scene is by the ford of Jabbok, and basically that's a place between the Sea of Galilee way up here and then the Dead Sea down here, somewhere in the middle there, the ford of Jabbok. So you can imagine that Jacob is there alone, and he hears the water. Maybe the wind is in the trees, and he hears all this. Maybe he looks up. We don't know, but maybe he looks up into the stars, and he thinks about the promises that his grandfather received from the Lord. Remember that Abraham had received the promise that his descendants would be as numerous as the stars. But now Jacob might be wondering, Lord, how are you going to do this? If Esau destroys me, what's going to happen to my descendants? And then we find that Jacob encounters a wrestler. It says in Genesis 32:24, Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. The word that we find there used for wrestling in the scriptures has to do with getting dusty or getting dirty. And perhaps you can picture this wrestling match between Jacob and this mysterious figure. Maybe they're circling around and they're grabbing for each other's heads or the legs, and pretty soon a tussle ensues, and there's the gripping and the struggling and the grasping and the clothes getting dirty and one tumbling down, the other on top, the other trying to get out. And this happens for a long time. Now, those of you that have wrestled know the experience of those 3 minutes, three sessions each. That's about 9 minutes. But the scriptures tell us that they wrestled all night. That's a pretty intense wrestling match. Yet the tussle continues until finally this mysterious figure reaches out and with a touch of the hand, just with a touch of the hand, hits Jacob's hip socket, and boom, it goes out of joint just like that. And Jacob, oh, you can imagine the agony that Jacob is in. And yet he hangs on. Probably all he can do now is just hang on to this figure. And he says, I will not let you go until you bless me. Wrestling is intense. Especially when you're wrestling with the Lord. So let me ask you a question. What is your place of wrestling? Maybe there's a place where you have been wrestling with the Lord these days. Maybe it's in your room with the door closed so that your children can't hear the sobs that you bring before the Lord at the foot of your bed. Maybe it's as you're driving in the car and you're half blinded by the tears that are pouring down your face because of this situation that your loved one is dealing with or you yourself are going through. Where is your place of wrestling with the Lord? There are times when we wrestle with God, and it might be because of the circumstances that we find ourselves in our life. Maybe you see all the things that are going on in the world, and you become angry, and you wonder, how could this be? Why is there so much violence over in this particular country or in my own country? God, why? That's one of the toughest questions, isn't it? Why? It could be any number of things. We can be wrestling with God. Sometimes we wrestle with the Lord in His Word. God comes to us in His Word, and we wrestle with what we read in the Scriptures. Have you ever done that? I do. I've been reading through the Old Testament lately, and actually in the book of Joshua right now. And frankly, there's a lot of disturbing stuff that you find in the Scriptures. And part of me is going, well, how could this be? This doesn't seem right. Why? And you're wrestling with a particular passage of Scripture, maybe trying to figure out what it means, or how in the world does it fit with your life or with the rest of the Scriptures. We wrestle with God's Word. As 2 Timothy 3:16 points out, it says, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. But sometimes what happens is we have this wrestling match between the inspired, inerrant Word of God. Make no mistake, the Bible is correct. But we wrestle with this and we start saying, well, maybe this isn't right. Maybe this isn't true. And we have this wrestling match between God's word and our will. Or maybe you read something in the scriptures that convicts you. And you realize that the path that you are on is not right. And so the word of God convicts you. Your conscience has been pricked. And pretty soon you are wrestling with this, that you are going astray from God's word. That's some difficult wrestling, isn't it, with God's word? And also, we might wrestle with the Lord in prayer. So as we hear these things in the word, as we're confronted with God's word, we might start praying and saying, Lord, help me to understand what is being spoken here. Help me to understand where I am supposed to be, where you would have me to go. But sometimes, as we wrestle with the Lord in prayer, it sometimes feels like the situation gets worse rather than better. Lord, why won't you answer the prayer that I'm praying? I've prayed many times about this, and I still don't have clarity. God, I am hurting. This person in my life that I care about is going through some very difficult stuff. God, where are you? Are you here? Do you hear me? Are you listening? Have you ever wrestled with the Lord in prayer? I have. Times of wrestling. And then all of a sudden, it's almost like God then reaches out and our hip becomes out of joint. And we find ourselves without any energy. And all we can do is hang on and say, Lord, I don't understand, I don't know, but please, please bless me. There was a guy by the name of Phil Vischer that I've already mentioned to some of you. I've been so impressed with this guy. Phil Vischer was the founder of VeggieTales. Anybody listen to VeggieTales? He was the voice of Bob the Tomato, of Archibald the Asparagus, and various other individuals. But Phil Vischer found himself with his hip socket out of joint, so to speak. Big Ideas, the company that founded VeggieTales, tanked. It went under. And Phil Vischer found himself disillusioned. Lord, wasn't it important to have wholesome things for children to watch on TV nowadays? Why did my company go down the tubes? And he wrestled with God. He was helpless. His health went down. He was struggling. He was confined pretty much to his home for a while, and all he could pretty much do was to read the scriptures and walk around and talk to the Lord in prayer. But from that, Phil Vischer was pointed back to Jesus. You see, that's what happens. As we wrestle with the Lord in prayer and in His Word, we realize that we, in and of ourselves, cannot beat God in a wrestling match. God in His Word, and as we come to Him in prayer, we are realizing our weakness, but then pointed to Jesus Christ, the one who has wrestled for you. Jesus, we hear in Luke chapter 4, is in the wilderness. He's been fasting for many days, and he's weak and he's weary, and the devil comes to him and tempts him. Did God really say, is God going to take care of you? Here, just do this. But Jesus says, it is written. Three rounds. It is written. It is written. It is written. And Satan is gone. And ding, ding, Jesus wins that round against Satan for you on your behalf. Remember, the children of Israel, the descendants of Jacob, were then in Egypt. And then they went into the desert. And there they grumbled and complained about not having bread. But Jesus is the one who was victorious, as he said, man does not live by bread alone. Jesus, on behalf of Jacob's descendants and upon your behalf, wrestled with Satan and was victorious. But not only that, Jesus wrestled with God himself in an epic three-round wrestling match in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus told his disciples, watch and pray. And Jesus went off alone by himself. And can you picture Jesus as he's there alone, and perhaps he's kneeling down and he's grasping the dirt and he's clinging and clenching his fists and he's shaking, his heart rate is up. And we know, as it says in the scriptures, that he sweated like great drops of blood, what we call hematosis, where there's so much stress that the capillaries break down and blood literally comes through the sweat glands. This is an intense wrestling match with God the Father. And we hear that Jesus says these words, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Round one, as you will. Round two, as you will. And a third time Jesus prayed, "Your will be done." So Jesus goes to the cross, and you can imagine the agony of being pinned, not to the mat, but with nails to the cross. And there Jesus hung for you, for your sin, and for your salvation. And it looked like he was down for the count. It looked like Satan and his minions had defeated Jesus. 1, 2, 3. But 1, 2, 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus rose from the dead for you, so that you might be freed from the grip of sin, from the grasp of death, from the clasp of the devil, the grip of hopelessness, the grasp of despair, the clasp of sorrow, that you are free to live life without the chains that you have been given, but for you are free from the grasp that entangled you, because Jesus wrestled and he prevailed for you. And also because Jesus wrestled and won, like Jacob, you and I have a new name and a new life with blessing and hope. Remember, Jacob said, "I will not let you go until you bless me." And the figure, which is God manifest, said to Jacob, "What is your name? What is your name?" What does Jacob's name mean? It means Yaakov, or Yaakov means heel grabber. It means deceiver. What is your name? He was confronted with his past, with what he was. And maybe you have been confronted with your past and the labels that you've given yourself, or the labels that other people have given to you. You know that you've sinned. You know that you could be called in any number of things. And yet, Jacob was given a new name, he who wrestles with God and prevails, or prince, and you are called prince or princess of the King of Kings. As a baptized child of God, baptized into the holy name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you have a new name, child of God. And with that new name comes a new life of hope and blessing and freedom in Jesus Christ. So, child of God, you might be wrestling with your daddy right now, but he's wrestling with you because he loves you. My father, as a wrestler, then taught me about wrestling, and he and I would wrestle on the floor. But we would wrestle not because my daddy was angry at me, but because he loves me, and he was teaching me and training me. And ultimately, I found out how strong daddy really was. I have a friend who's gone through some struggles, and during a difficult time wrestling with God, somebody came to this person and said, How's the fight going? And this person said, "You know, I hope God wins. I hope God wins." And my dear fellow children of God, I hope that God wins that struggle, that you may then lean back into the loving arms of your Heavenly Father, who loves you so very much, and Jesus, your Savior, who says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Your Savior Jesus has wrestled and won, so may you rest in the grace of your Savior Jesus. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard, guide, and keep your hearts and minds in the one true faith until life everlasting. Amen.